So I got a question for you, church, this morning. Do we naturally understand who God is? Do we naturally understand who God is? I think this is a very important question that each one of us has to be able to answer for ourselves, because it's incredibly important. And we'll see that as we go into the message. I'm going to be preaching out of Ephesians. And Paul understood how important it was for him to be praying for the church. We can see that through the different books that he written. Paul understood the importance of praying for the church. We know all Paul is, probably as we read, Paul was a prayer warrior, right? Paul prayed hard for the church. And particularly in the Ephesian church, Paul had much invested. They say Paul spent about 3 years-ish in Ephesus preaching, teaching, discipling, walking with them. And so Paul had a real heart for the Ephesian church, and yet he understood that he needed to be praying for the church continually. So as we get into reading Ephesians 1:15 to the end, there's three words I want us to think of or catch as we read: revelation, understanding, and power. Revelation, understanding, and power. And if there's any three words that you remember at the end of this message, just, I want you to remember those three words: revelation, understanding, and power. If you have your Bibles, we can turn to Ephesians 1, and we'll read 15 to the end. And I'll be reading out of the NLT. Let's read. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Verse 19, I also pray that you understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, your precious, holy word. Father, thank you so much that you inspired Paul to read to write Ephesians. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you would speak to us and you would reveal your truth to us. Lord, you would grant us spiritual wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of God. And may you do a beautiful work in each of our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So did any of you catch those three words? No? None of you guys did? Okay, good. We got a couple of nods. Those three words are incredibly important. See, we understood that Paul understood that he needed to pray for the church. Why? What was the question when I opened up with? Because we don't naturally understand God. And so he understood that he needed to be praying for the church to understand these things. And see, I think sometimes we like the idea of prayer, right? We hear the word prayer and it's like, yeah, it sounds great. We like the benefits of it. right? We like, you know, what comes out of it. Maybe when people pray for us, we like that. But often I think we forget that this, when we pray, we're praying to a holy, righteous God. We have a relationship with him. And what a privilege it is to know him. And see, Paul understood that. Paul had a relationship with God. He had a relationship with this holy God. And out of that, he was praying for the church, that they would understand who this God was that he was in relationship with. And he knew that the church would only understand if God would begin to reveal, when God would begin to give understanding, when God would pour out his power upon the believers. But I think also sometimes we forget that it's also, you could say, a sense of work. I don't know if you guys have ever heard the words, you know, I labored for you in vain, or I interceded for you, or I've been praying for you, right? There's something that comes with prayer that if we look at Paul, often we just think, oh, it was just easy, and he just did it because he loved the church. Paul labored in prayer for the church. He interceded on behalf of the church. He put the work into the church because he loved the church. But I want us to catch that this came out of Paul's relationship with God, right? So we can never look at prayer as something that we just try to work harder to do, or we try to do more of it. Paul was praying out of his relationship with this holy, righteous God. And so it ought to be the same for us. So my heart in this section is I want us to grab a hold of is that we would understand the need to be praying for each other in this. We would be praying for each other for revelation, understanding in the knowledge of God, to grow in our knowledge of who he is. God is not someone that we naturally understand or seek, but rather God pursues us, grants understanding and revelation to help us understand who he is and our need for him through his word. We need God to work, church, on our behalf. So let's start working through this passage here. Verse 16. I have not stopped thanking you, God, for you. I pray for you constantly. So we see that here's Paul's heart. He's praying constantly for the church. And I want, as we're going through this, I want you guys to be thinking, like, how does this apply to me? What does this mean for me? Because we can easily just say, oh, well, Paul was called to pray. Let's look at ourselves. How does this apply to us? I pray for you constantly. And I love how he continues on. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So asking God, the glorious Father, or infinite Father, supreme Father, the God of glory and of power and might and strength, but also the God of wrath and justice. This is the God that Paul is praying to for the church. His glory is so bright that simply his presence is light. Let's read Revelation 21, verse 23. The city had no need for the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. So this Father of glory is the one that Paul is praying to for the church. Guys, that's who we pray to. Let's continue on. To give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. See, Paul understood, and we can see through the other books that he written, that man doesn't naturally seek God. Right? We don't naturally seek God. We can turn to Romans 3, verse 11. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. Right? So here Paul understands that the nature of man, they don't seek God. Therefore, I need to be praying that they would have spiritual wisdom and insight to grow in the knowledge of God. Paul understood the nature of man. And therefore, he understood that he needed to be praying so that they could have spiritual wisdom. spiritual wisdom and understanding. See, and I think when he's talking about here, when he's saying grow in the knowledge of God, I think he's not just simply meaning facts, history, knowing all of the, you know, even maybe you could say Bible memory. This is talking about the knowledge of God in a relationship where you begin to understand who you are and who God is and what he's done for you, and you have this intimate relationship with where you are actually being led by the Holy Spirit on a day-by-day basis. Because the Pharisees had, they thought they had it figured out, right? They had all the facts. They had all the dates. They had all the history. But they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know God. And so when Paul is praying for them to grow in the knowledge of God, in the spirit of wisdom or spiritual wisdom and understanding, he was talking about this intimate relationship where they would know him, church. Know him. Not just facts, not just history, but know him. Be led by him, by being led by the Holy Spirit. Let's dive into these two words. Spiritual wisdom or spirit of wisdom. I want to dive into that a little bit. So the definition of wisdom is simply having the knowledge and understanding to make good choices, right? To have the knowledge and understanding to make good choices. So here's Paul praying that they would have the spirit of wisdom. They would have the ability to take God's word and then being able to apply it to their lives. Being able to read God's word and therefore taking it and applying it to their lives. That they would take the word and use its wisdom and be able to take it and glean it and then apply it to their everyday life. And so that's what he was praying for, that they would have the spirit of wisdom or spiritual wisdom, is that they would have the ability to take God's word and then apply it to their lives. Because I don't know about you, but I so often will read God's word and I'll read a whole portion and I'm like, what did I just read? Right? Like there's a side where we need God to reveal. We need God to speak to us. We need God to give us insight, spiritual wisdom, to be able to grab a hold of God's word. Yeah, it's to have the ability to understand what God is saying to us and then responding accordingly. I just want to make sure that we don't miss the first part of that. The spirit of wisdom or the spiritual wisdom, it's a work of the Holy Spirit, okay? This is not something that we conjure up, try harder with. It's something that it's a work of the Spirit. It's a work that God does by his Spirit. So let's look into the latter part of that. And he prays for a spiritual wisdom and insight. So depending on what version you're using, insight, some use revelation, some use understanding. But in simple terms, to explain revelation is that we would understand what God wants us to understand, right? So God reveals something to us. It's something that he wants us to understand, right? So when he brings revelation or he brings insight, it's something that he already wanted us to understand. And so often we need that in God's word as we read God's word, is we need that, we need what God wants to communicate to us, right? We need what he desires to speak to us about. So we need that revelation. We need that insight from the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is praying that for the church. So I just want to bring it all together and I'm going to read that verse. So asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. You guys with me? You tracking with me? Okay, sweet. So let's continue on. Actually, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. We have to want more, church. We have to want more. If we're okay with surface level understanding, surface level knowledge of God's word, surface level relationship with Jesus, we will be an ineffective church. We're going to be a surface level church. We have to want more. And you can see it as you read Paul here. Paul wanted more for the church. He wanted the church to be more on fire, more full of love, more compassionate, more merciful, right? Paul understood this, so he was praying for the church for it. I want to read Proverbs 2, 1 to 6. If you got your Bibles, church, as we read this passage, this should convict us, okay? If this doesn't convict you, you need to reflect. Let's read 1 to 6. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight, church. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. And you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Church, when I read that, that convicted me. And we can see this in Paul's, in the letter in the Ephesians. He had a cry for the church that they would have understanding, they would have revelation, they would have insight to who this God is that they were serving. So let's continue on. So there's going to be three things that Paul wants the church to grow in understanding. There's three things that Paul wanted them to grow in understanding specifically in this portion. The one is to be confident in their hope. To be confident in their hope. To understand what it means to be as rich and glorious inheritance. And then number three, sorry, that was number two. Number three, the power of God to those who believe. So those are specifically the ones Paul was praying to. So in verse 18, I pray that your hearts will be flooded so that you, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. So this confident hope, he wants to understand what this confident hope is. So I want to just backtrack a little bit. This word understanding is incredibly important, okay? Understanding is a definition you could say is to grasp the meaning, like to be able to wrap your brain around what you're supposed to understand, okay? And you could say understanding is also to have a thorough knowledge of. So here's Paul is praying that they would understand the confident hope. So they would understand the confident hope they have. So they would begin to wrap their brains around, they would begin to grasp this hope that they have in Christ. This is what Paul is praying that they would begin to understand. Their confident hope, the hope of their calling. They would understand who they are as called individuals, called by the God of all creation. They would know that the hope they have in Christ. This is what Paul is praying for, that they would grow in their understanding. And I call it the New King James says it, that they may know the hope of their calling. That they may know. Church, God wants you to know how much he loves you and what he has done for you on the cross. That's what he wants you to know. He wants you to know that. He's not a God that's a distance. He's a God that's near. To be identified as God's child. The hope of your calling. To be called. That's an amazing truth, church. Redeemed to an everlasting hope. To be rescued from hell for eternity to be in heaven with him. That's the hope we have, church. It's not surface level hope. It's real hope. Powerful hope. Number two, understand what it means to be his rich and glorious inheritance. And church, to be honest, this was the one that I probably fumbled over the most when I was studying. What does it mean to be his rich and glorious inheritance? What does it mean to be Jesus' rich and glorious inheritance? I often think of myself, man, I'm just a feeble, frail human being that wanders away from God and, you know, tries to do its own thing. And here he's saying that we would understand who we are to Jesus. Do you get that? Do you understand that? Are you comprehending that? Who we are to Jesus. We are his rich and glorious inheritance. It's like Jesus is waiting in heaven saying, man, I just can't wait for my bride. I just can't wait till they're in heaven with me. That's who we are as believers. That's our identity, is who we are. We're a child of God. We're his rich and glorious inheritance. Church, that's who we are. And that's what Paul wanted the church to understand. He wanted them to understand who they were in Christ. Got a question here in my notes. Do you feel like that rich and glorious inheritance? Do you feel that? Do you reckon with that? Do you reflect on that? Because, church, I tell you, we will live according to the way we see ourselves. We ought to see ourselves the way Christ wants us to see ourselves. Jesus was willing to die on the cross for each one of us. He was willing to pay the price for our sin. He was willing to pay the price to redeem our identity. We were fallen. We were children of wrath. He was willing to die so to redeem that we would be his rich and glorious inheritance. We would be confident in our hope. Let's go down to number 3. The power of God for those that believe. The power of God for those that believe. Verse 19 to the end. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Understand the incredible greatness of God's power toward us. Let's turn to Romans 8, verse 11. You have your Bibles, turn to Romans 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So he's empowered us with the Holy Spirit. This great, incredible power that is toward us who believe. Do we understand this? Do we comprehend this? Right? It's one of those things I feel like the Holy Spirit, like Paul was praying, is we need God to give us understanding. We need God to give us insight and revelation. And Paul understood that. He said, oh man, we don't by nature understand all these things. The nature of man doesn't even want these things. So I ought to pray for the church that they would understand this power that we've been empowered with, the Holy Spirit living in us. Got a quote here. If you are a stranger to prayer, you are a stranger to the greatest source of power known to human beings. Guys, we pray to a mighty God, a holy God, a powerful God that actually wants to listen to us and have a relationship with us. And this power is the power that put Jesus on the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms. It's the power that raised Christ above all principalities and powers and authority. And I love how he just kind of wraps this up towards the end in verse 23. And the church is his body. Church, that's what we are. We're his body. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Church, what completes us as a church is Christ. It's what he's done for us on the cross. It's the gospel. It's the good news. That is where we get our strength from. That's where we get our life from. We ought to press into Christ. We ought to pray for Jesus to give us insight to the gospel. So I kind of want to just bring this full circle as we wrap up here. Do we naturally understand who God is? Do we naturally understand who God is? Now, because of that, going back to the title, do we understand our need to be praying for each other? Do we see the need to be praying for each other? We need help to understand who God is. We need help to understand what our hope is. We need help to understand who we are in Christ and that we are his glorious and rich inheritance. We need help. A quote from Max Lucado: our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it, not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference, church. Brothers and sisters, our prayers do make a difference. So are we praying for each other? Are you praying for the person beside you? Maybe look around. Look around at your brothers and sisters in the church. Are you praying for them? I'd be the first one to be like, maybe not, you know, but we ought to. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other to have spiritual wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of God. I'm praying with all my heart. I've been praying all week that you would leave this door, these doors, and be like, man, I gotta pray for my brothers and sisters. They need to understand Jesus more. That's what I want you to walk away here with. Church, let's be a church that wants to go deeper. Let's be a church that wants more of Jesus in our lives. You know how that happens? You know how that happens? We start praying. We start praying for each other wholeheartedly, with faith, belief that God can move mountains. He can transform lives. This is the God that we serve. I could just plead with you guys. This is the God that we serve. He's a God that wants to restore and make new and transform lives. But we ought to believe, we ought to be praying for each other. But it will be a call to surrender. We will have to surrender. We will have to surrender our lives wholeheartedly to Jesus. So let's become a praying church like Paul understood the need to pray. Let's close in prayer. Father, I know that was a lot. And Father, I just pray that you would do a powerful work by the working of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that everyone that exits those doors, Father, that you would speak to them. You give them the grace and the strength to hold on to your word and to apply it to their lives, Lord, and let it transform them. And Father, I pray that you would begin a work in each of our hearts to grow us into a praying church for each other, a praying church that prays for those that are in hurting, praying for those that don't believe and that need salvation. Father, that we would turn into a praying church and we would be like Paul, where he continually, constantly was praying for the church. We'd be constantly praying. Father, draw us near. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.